The Lunchtime Social, brought to you in association with White Fibre, providers of the fastest fibre optic broadband on the island. Call them on 01983 240 240. That's 01983 240 240.
Okay, here we are then. It's a Wednesday. We've got Shania Twain still in, and we've also got Lady Bex in. Hey. And we still don't know Lady Bex of where, but you're just Lady Bex at the moment.
Carisbrook.
Well, it's not Carisbrook, is it? Because the old man bought you a ladyship from somewhere, but you don't know where.
No. Just my little meter of Scotland.
Well, it's not Carisbrook then, is it? And you brought your son in as well, and you are like a dead ringer for each other, aren't you?
My youngest, yeah.
Except for you got a beard.
Do I look like a 50-year-old woman, or does she look like a 24-year-old man?
Man.
That's a trick question, right?
Yeah. No one wins.
Okay, and the reason why we're doing this social debate today, so thank you for coming in and getting on the bus and coming in. So who wants to outline what we're doing for the next hour?
Mum does.
Oh, right, obviously. Well, we were talking about education last week, and we were talking about how many kids are pressured through the education system into going to university, and how there are many ways to skin this particular cat. You know, that you don't have to go straight from school, maybe take a gap year if you want to, go straight to university. That there is, you know, the reason I brought Harry in today was because he didn't like school very much, did you?
No. I like the social part of it. It's good fun.
Dinner time, break time.
Yeah, they were great. I'd do them all the time.
But, I mean, you left school at 16?
No. Kind of.
It was.
Well, when you leave school?
You waited till I went away for a week and then you left school.
Best week of my life. No,
but true.
Because when you leave school at 16, you have a few years of education for free. So I think it's up to the age of 19.
Yeah.
Like the year before you turn 19. So I tried sixth form and it wasn't really for me, but I was just doing it because everybody was doing it.
Yeah.
Tried a media course and that wasn't really for me the next year. And then the year after that, for my last 3 year of education, I just tried a horticulture course just to try and get a trade by me. But I found out that I was doing that just because that was the thing to do, you know. When you finish school, everyone was like, yeah, just try and do something. So in the end, I decided to just take a few years out and just get a couple of jobs, just working in places, like, I don't know, anywhere, McDonald's, Subway or whatever. And figured out what I wanted to do with my life, which is now teaching. And then I started university when I was 22. So I'm in my second year now.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Does that give you hope, Shania?
Yeah.
Because are you in silent kind of a similar... Although you had good experiences from school, didn't you?
Yeah, it was really good. I enjoyed it.
Okay.
Got my A levels and all that, and it's just try university. It didn't work out this year, and I've still got my place for next year, and see what happens when it gets to like middle of next year.
And just to remind people, you made the conscious decision of just putting it off for a year.
Yeah.
And I kind of don't blame you. I can see the logic in that. I think, I don't know whether you would agree with the fact that you're at school for X amount of years and all of a sudden you leave and it's like, well, hang on a minute, I've been hard at it for the last 12 years. Give us a break, will you?
Well, it's good to take a bit of a break, as you're saying, because you do the thing from 16 and then most people go into sixth form. Most of my friends went into sixth form and stuff. Then they've all gone to university, and by the time they'd finished, I hadn't even started my first year. And quite a few of them now are just doing degrees that they're not really using, and they're still in the same kind of jobs that I was in before I even went to university, like the part-time jobs. But I think just taking a few years out or a year out, realising what you want to do, having a break from education is fantastic, and you can really just focus on what you want to do. It's no other way of putting it, really. You can just figure it out for yourself.
Do you think, though, that schools put enormous pressure on young people to go to university?
I think sometimes they do. I think there are a lot, they kind of choke it a little bit. I remember there was a few people that did their personal statement, and everyone was like, okay, just focus on what your strengths are and focus on this. But they were kind of saying what they think their strengths are. And it was kind of when you're 17, 16 or 18, you get a lot of input from adults. You don't really get the kind of, I kind of want to do what I want. I want to write about myself. I think I know what I'm doing. You get a thing of, you're still not an adult. Like, I know you're about 18 when they're doing a UCAS thing, but you've just turned 18. And they're kind of saying stuff like, oh yeah, do this, do that. You should do this. You'd be good at that. go to university, like you've gone to sixth form, so you've done that, you kind of do that because you don't really know what to do, and then you go to university straight after sixth form, because again you go, well, might as well do that, I've got the qualifications to do that, why not? Whereas not many people just take a sit out and be like, but what do I really want to do?
Yeah.
You know?
So would it be fair to say you've kind of conformed a little bit then?
I've conformed, yeah, because I figured I've done all the not so great jobs, I've kind of said I've done the fast food joint and stuff like that, and I figured this isn't really for me.
Right.
I've done part-time jobs where I've been working 45 hours or 50 hours a week, and I figured I just want to do something else, and I want to do a job where I know that I can get a job at the end of my degree, which is why I'm doing teaching now, because after you've done your teaching in your third years, they actually give you job interviews and they kind of ease you into it over the 3 years rather than kind of going
right.
I think Alex, my brother, he did a musical
production
thing, and now he's working at ICT in a fire company, so he's kind of like doesn't do anything with his degree, but he did it straight after sixth form and just went straight into it.
So it kind of highlights what a lot of people have here is they don't get those things aren't in place to tax your brain to something that you really want to do. It's almost like, right, here you go, there's a list of things that you can do, and if you don't like it, you'll have to leave, or you have to go and do what you did. Where it would have been far easier for them to sort of have stuff on the list that you could and, you know, would choose and think, do you know what, I want to do that. Or wouldn't you have known at that point?
I wouldn't have known at all.
So it wouldn't have mattered then?
No, that's why I took a few years out, because I was doing the education just because everyone else was doing it, and then they were like, just do this. And they're like, this is what you should do. And they kind of said, why not? Just do it. Like, and I was like, no.
But do you think now, I mean, you know, I'm all for like putting things in place so it helps people like you when you're age 16, you know, because there is an element of you've got to go through those years to sort of find yourself.
Yeah.
But there is an element of, well, hang on, why don't we put something in place so you can find yourself a little bit quicker?
Well, really, like, I've researched a little bit, but there's kind of a lot of apprenticeships going around these times, and there's like, to get you, when you're 16, you can leave. I know my little sister, she's thinking about doing an apprenticeship when she's 16 and not doing sixth form, or doing anything like that, just so she can get a trade or get a job behind her, just so that she can set herself up for the future, but not having to go to university, because she doesn't really get on with education like I did. So there's things in places that she wants to do. There's all sorts of places, people that I know that are really good hairdressers and stuff as well, and they've just done that since they were 16 years old, just done it, got the qualification, and they're really happy doing it, not gone to university, not done any of the kind of extra 2 years afterwards, and now I know a couple of people that own their own studios and stuff, and they're really enjoying it. So that there's places that are in there like that which aren't really strictly education, but they kind of help them on their feet to do what they want to do. Yeah, it's training to do what they want to do, which, and they're doing more apprenticeships these days, which I think is really good, because not everybody is education, not everyone is an academic like that, you know?
I think apprenticeships are a good idea, but I have to say, I think some of them are taking the mick. I don't think you need to be an apprentice to work in McDonald's. And I think McDonald's use apprentices as a cheap form of labour, you know?
Everybody is doing that these days, especially on the Isle of Wight, I found out. I won't name them, but a couple of like, places I work, they kind of said, what they'd do is they'd get a trial shift in just to use them as a free hour of labour during the quiet winters of the day. So they'd go in and say, oh yeah, we're going to give you a trial shift. You're going to work from 11 till 7, good 8 hours, and we'll see what you like. But they had absolutely no intention of hiring them. They just did that so they could get someone to cover them and just do all the not so good jobs around.
I've heard that, and I think that in those instances, that what should be in place is some boxes to tick here. One is the apprentice actually gets something out of it.
Yeah.
It's not a case of right, you come in, you do this. They should get some kind of not experience, because they're getting that anyway. They should get some kind of certificate, if that's the right term to use.
Yeah, definitely.
And they shouldn't be used and abused. That's for sure. It's not a case of you just come in and you just clean the loos and that's it.
Yeah.
You know, they get other training and so on and so forth. I'd like to think, I mean, we've got a young apprentice here, and you know, he doesn't earn a massive amount of money, I'll be honest, and he knows he doesn't earn a massive amount of money, and you know, I'd love to be able to say, well, there's a little bit more money, but unfortunately the times that we live in now, we've not got the money to throw about. But I'm hoping that he's getting more than just an apprenticeship. He's part of the family, you know, the Vectis Radio family. He's getting some good life skills
and some specialist skills as well. I think there's a massive difference between coming here and learning how to produce and edit and make radio and all about the media than it is to go to a well-known coffee chain and learn how to make a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
Well, the biggest thing about that is that you guys say, like, the Vectors Radio family and stuff, like, you all know each other, you're always here, yeah. People that run it are here all the time, whereas certain places will work, there'll be like a franchisee running it and you'll never see them, and they'll come in and they'll just look at the thing, go black and white and go, this person, nah, this isn't good enough, and move on to the next person. Whereas you guys can take the time to kind of, you know your staff and know your apprenticeships, get to know everybody and make them feel welcome.
I hope so, because I don't want to be like the people that you've described, because I think, you know, that to me is it would be an insult.
Well, it's exploitative, isn't it?
It is, definitely. Yeah, it's horrible. Definitely.
But they don't give you constructive criticism as well. They just kind of come in, say, this isn't good enough, and leave. Whereas you guys...
it's convey about.
You guys, if you had anything to say, you'd say it. You'd talk about it like adults. You wouldn't be corporate about it, you know, which is really good.
I hope so.
Although, the idea of us being corporate here.
Here's to industry. Bully.
It's not going to happen, is it?
But you know what I was going to say, Ian? You know, like you're saying that kids today are kind of led down this path of, you do your CATs, your SATs, your GCSEs, your A-levels, and then you go to university. And there is this conveyor belt thing. And as a parent, it's really easy to get sucked up in that as well and not take into consideration your child and what they want and what their strengths and weaknesses are and what would suit them. You're like, no, you have to go down this conveyor belt and through this particular tube. And you have to take a step back, and Harry forced me to do that and realise there is more than one way to skin a cat here.
Okay. Do you feel like you've done the right thing, or do you look back and think, do you know what, if I'd have known sooner, I wouldn't have wasted, you know, X amount. How much time do you think it took you to get from A to B?
From A to B, it was for 4 years, I think. No, 5 years, actually, because I left school at 16, as Mum said, and then it wasn't until 21 I was like, I'm going to apply for an access course and do my teaching. I had to do the one-year access course, and that's how I go into university straight after that. But it was definitely a good 5 years of, I don't know what I want to do. But quite a lot of it sounds quite negative, but most of my school teachers, they talk to me about stuff, and they would kind of make me feel not really good enough to become a teacher. They would say, because I was had a bit of a rebellious streak and maybe wasn't the best behaved.
Where have you got that from?
No idea. No. But they kind of made me think, oh, I'm not good enough to become a teacher. And it took me a good 5 years to think, no, I am, because I can turn everything, I can turn all the negatives into positives, and I can help. I can help kids, and I can help people become what they want to be. And if I can make an impact in anyone's life, I think I've done a good job. But it did take me a good 5 years to get over the fact that teachers labelled me as a bit of a bad child. And then it wasn't until much later on I was like, no, I'm not actually. I can do this. Don't get in my way.
One of the problems I feel is that the system is more and more becoming a system, and many, many children aren't fitting into that.
Well, here's an example from the university thing is I have to do a placement, and I have to do a lot of essays for teaching. In my placement, I got the highest possible grade you can get for it, which shows that I could do the teaching side, the lesson plans, all the written work was involved in that. However, on the flip side, when I was doing all my essays, like my 3,000 word essays and all that, they're about 2 1s, 2 2s. They weren't as good as, say, my placement was. But if you flip it around, if you are really bad at doing the placement side of it, but really good at writing essays, then you get the qualification of being the better teacher, which doesn't make any sense.
Because
you're not doing the teaching, you just know how to write an essay and play the system and get your qualification. And that's awful. And it goes back to school. It's like some kids will be very good at, say, PE, art, music, but they're not lessons that they have to take, you know, when they get to a certain period of time. But you have to take maths, English and science. But if you're not very good at maths, English and science, and you're a really good creative type, you're then stopped from doing what you want to do because everyone just focuses on maths, English and science.
It's too easy to sort of label things and give people a list to do.
Awful.
And they don't go off the, you know, they don't go sideways a little bit, because other people are, you know, are into different things. I mean, we never had that when we were at school. When you chose your topics from when you did the first year at high school, which would then was the third year, which is very complicated because now it's all changed, isn't it? You understood where you were, so you started at high school, you did the third year, and during the third year, you, which is your first year, you picked lessons that you were going to do for the next 2 years.
Yeah,
that's right, isn't it?
Yeah.
And you know, very often you would pick something and they would say, no, there's too many kids doing that, so you can't do it. So you're penalised straight away, even at an early age.
Well, I remember wanting to do biology, physics and chemistry because I wanted to be a vet. And when we were at school, because it's Ian and I went to school together, you couldn't do it. The timetable was such a way, you couldn't take the three subjects separately, so you had to do something called SCISP.
Yes, I remember.
Do you remember SCISP?
Yeah.
And I did 2 years of science, integrated science or whatever it was. I don't even know now. But to this day, I still get confused about what is physics and what is chemistry.
So it's not... I mean, that system was in place back in the 1970s.
Yeah.
And I don't suppose it's... Has it changed much, Shania?
No. It's like the high school bit, you know, you take your GCSEs, you have to choose what you want to do. And then there's always going to be clashes. No, I think that's the problem. If you want a certain career and you're stopped doing a like course or a topic you want to do, then it's already penalised you, sort of thing. Mm. I know my GCSEs were okay. I got like all the subjects I wanted to do. But A-levels, I did have one that clashed. So I couldn't do it. Not that I wanted to, I was a clash between RE and geography, so it wasn't life or death, sort of thing.
When you say clash... But,
you couldn't do it because they were happening at the same time.
Right.
So
that's wrong, isn't it?
Yeah, so it's
you're
always going to happen, isn't it? But I chose something. I dropped geography and did English literature instead. And I didn't do very well in English literature. I just didn't try as hard because I was like, well, that's what I didn't particularly want to do. So I'm not going to put as much effort into it. Then I put a lot of effort into the other three and I've got good A-levels out of them. So I do think that university is very pushed nowadays. That's your only option. Like from 16, when you're in year 11, you're thinking about university. I went on a university trip to the Bath, Bristol, Cardiff and Oxford, and from that point you're pushed, you need to do well, you need to go to university, sort of thing. If you don't do well, you won't get into university when there is other options to get there. Like my brother, he doesn't want to do A-levels, you know, he's not an academic person, so he's going to hopefully go to college and see what happens from there, sort of thing. But it's not fair that you're just pushed into university, because if I knew of other options, I probably could have taken a year out. And you're only sort of seen at school, like, you need to go straight to university, that's your only option. And now I know it's not the only option. There are other choices, and sometimes people aren't ready for university, like I wasn't. I look back on it and think, yeah, I wasn't ready.
And you made the brave decision of saying, right, I'm putting it off for you. Well, good for you.
Yeah.
I fear for your brother a little bit, though, because if he's not like you and don't want to go to university, is he going to be pushed into staying at school?
I think he can go to college. I think he said after that you can go to university, but go through a, like, different route or something. Yeah. I can't...
Does he have to stay on until he's 18, though?
He can leave school at 16, but he has to stay in, like, some sort of education. So he could go to the college or get an apprenticeship or anything.
Or if he
like
was
that.
To get a job?
He would have to stay in some sort of education. I remember when I was younger, I was the last year, I think, that could leave school and get a job at 16.
Right.
I think that was actually happened, but so as far as I know, you've got to stay in education.
They've only brought this out in the last couple of years,
yeah,
where you've got to stay
right.
on in
Don't
some
quote
kind
me
of
on
education.
It,
I think okay, in some kind of ways. I mean, that, you know, in our day, I mean, I know you stayed on for a little bit of time before they kicked you out.
3 weeks. So they asked me to leave nicely.
What, did I outlast you? And you
outlasted me.
And you moaned at me.
So we left and got jobs.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Yes.
And never looked back.
No, I had a job and. I cannot believe that if a kid wants to leave school at 16 and go and work and they've got a job, that you can't. That's absolutely ridiculous.
I think it is, personally. You know, but...
So our school got a system in that the last year of sixth form, I think they sort of wanted to sort of restrict the amount of hours you worked after, like, the school. So they did a system where we did lunch duty but got paid for it. So we actually had a job at the school, which was actually quite good for me because then I didn't have to find work to, like, bring some money in outside of school hours. I did it in my lunch times when I was free, which is quite good.
When you go back to, you know, the next year, you've got X amount of years in front of you at university. How many years is it?
3 years.
It's 3 years. Now, do you have to pay for those 3 years?
Yeah.
So at some point, you've got to pay back 3 years' worth of uni
fees. Yeah, I've already
fees.
Got some loan because obviously I started.
Right.
And I paid because I had to start the loan because I was there about 3-4 weeks. So I have got a loan that's... I'm already in debt, technically.
Yay.
Yeah, so, it's great. So
I mean, we've got all this thing at the moment with George Osborne and all figures and so on and so forth, saying that we're all in debt. And it's kind of encouraged you to start your, you know, your working life in debt. It's almost like you owe them something.
I probably expect that interest has already started on it as well.
It's not the best lesson to learn, is it? Really?
Well, there's so many countries in Europe that are. I know quite a few people from Denmark who come to university, and they not only get their education paid for at the university, they also get money to live off. I think my friend she gets £500 a month just to live off, and that's not including like rent or anything. Whereas with us, it's like, I think my tuition fees are £9,000 a year, and I have to pay back. The more you earn, the more you pay back, but you can't pay all of it back. So if you won the lottery, they wouldn't accept that your money back, because they treat it, so you'd always be giving them money. So there's no way you can actually pay your loan back early. So you're just in debt for a long time.
It is a form of you owe us.
So you can't pay it back as a lump sum?
No, I found that out in the access course. I mean, I'm about 95% sure that's right. That's what my tutor said to me. I said, oh, but if we've got like a lot of money, like say if we got a really good job from it, can we just pay it back and get it over with? And it's no.
So if I was the man that was running all of these universities and I was getting the money for it, you'd be in my pocket for the next number of years. No matter whether you want to pay it off, that's fine. That ain't gonna happen.
They just keep it because there's always going to be people going to university, so there's always going to be people paying it in. So it's
beginning to sound like a bit of a racket, actually.
Can I just backtrack on the Danish people you said? What's the situation with them? I mean, they
get it all paid for. They don't have to pay it back. It's not a student loan; it's a student grant, I believe. And they get it all paid. I think Finland,
like
Finland do the same.
Germany.
I think Scotland. Most of Scandinavia do. Actually.
Scotland.
Just everyone in England. But they pay for the NHS, so if you're a nurse or something, and you go, I've got a few friends doing nursing.
They don't have doctors, though.
Oh, well.
Just nurses.
Well,
you're in
good.
Our pocket. That's basically it, isn't it? You're in our pocket for X amount of years. You owe us. You owe us. We gave you that money and we want it back. And instead of thinking about it the other way around, hey, hang on a minute, you're the future. You might end up in a school, you might be changing this, changing that for the better and so on.
I think they should pay it back if you go to university and you completely drop out, not just postpone it, but if you completely drop out of university, I think, then pay it back. That's fair enough because you've taken the money and you've not done what you're meant to do with the money. But if you're like trying to make this country, say, a better place, for example, getting a degree, getting a job to help people, and they're like, that'd be £27,000 for your tuition. And you kind of go, oh.
I've never really been into the situation where I was going to go to university. I was unfortunately never bright enough to do that. but I never thought that it was that bad. That what you're describing there is like, I thought that this country invested in people that were the future and helped them. It's the other way round. Investing in your future, which is pretty bleak at the beginning because you have this massive debt around your neck.
As soon as you start, it's like, if you go on the student finance page, it's like, this is all the money that we've given to the university on your behalf. And you're like, how much did I pay for this then? Oh, cool. And it's like, it doesn't really register when you first do it because everyone's kind of doing it when they go to university. So you kind of like, oh yeah, student debt. But when you sit down and look at it, you go, I'm actually about £40,000 in debt right now. And I haven't even finished my degree. I haven't done anything.
I'm surprised you sleep at night.
Oh,
He
doesn't. He stays up all night playing Dota.
It's a great game.
So where are you now? Are you still at university?
Yeah, I'm starting my second year.
Right.
So... that started in September, and I'm here for another year after this, so I've got 3 years altogether.
And here's another anomaly. Harry's doing
prime... Can I say that again?
Anomaly.
Anomaly.
Shut up. Harry's doing...
You've got to put an R in it. Put an R in it.
Anomaly. Here's another anomaly. Back to you, Mum.
Harry's doing a primary school education thing as a bloke, and his speciality is maths. It's something that absolutely screaming out for male primary school teachers, especially with the science and maths background.
Brilliant.
If Harry had done any other degree, so say he'd done a degree in like music production, like his middle brother, he could then do a year's PGCE teaching qualification, and he would have been paid a bursary and given a golden handshake for doing it.
Also, if I was, I could get a bursary if I was claiming the maximum amount of a maintenance grant.
Yeah.
But I'm not, because
of... But because he's only doing a degree in primary school teaching with maths as a specialist subject, he's not eligible for any bursary at all.
I'm not doing it for the money or anything, but, it would have been nice for a bursary, because living in London, I mean, last year they only gave me enough to not even... Actually, no, they didn't even cover my rent, did they?
No.
Yeah, because London's expensive. It's ridiculous. House of living is... Well, this one's nice, but the one I lived in before was quite the bomb site before I'd even moved in. Like, we're talking, we moved in and there was a massive rotting freezer with loads of disgusting... I mean, it's gone past.
The people. No, it sounds like the young ones, doesn't it?
Oh, there was, I would love it. There was things like the beds were broken, there was no toilet seat.
Good grief.
There was still no toilet seat when we moved out. But
how,
hey...
How much are you paying for that?
Well, that is quite funny. That house was worth... middle of terrace, three bedrooms, the walls actually moved and it was leaking and there was mould everywhere. And that was worth £462,000 if you were to buy it. And it was £1,850 a month between four of us.
Good grief. So,
yeah. And then they tried to not give me my deposit back as well. I've got it back now.
Crikey. Should we compare notes here? Because did you had a place where you could go and stay?
Yeah, I'm living in halls. It's like a student village.
Oh, it's in student village. So how much did that cost you?
That was about £130 a week.
That's including bills, isn't it?
Yeah. So that's a lot less than what you were paying.
Mine wasn't including bills. So got £120. You got £520 a month including bills versus £462.50 a month, no bills included, and it was quite.
And also, the university had said to us, "We've got space for all new intake in our student halls," and you think that's great because you end up in student halls and hopefully you make friends, and then the next year you can share a house together. They called us up there a few weeks before Harry was due to start, as there was probably 200 of us.
Oh yeah,
families.
All frantically searching.
We haven't got any accommodation for you.
Yeah, that happened at our university. There's people in travel lodges and all that sort of thing.
Yeah.
You think, well, that's a great start to their university life. So
there was one halls that they had called Spring Muse, which was in Vauxhall, which was about half an hour away from university.
It was a private one, wasn't it?
It was private, and it cost you £8,000 a year to live in.
Yeah.
And they somehow figured everyone would be able to pay for that, which... But they do exploit you. Everyone wants to exploit students, which is weird because students are the ones trying to help and trying to get jobs to kind of do something with their life or something like that. And it's like, okay, so we're going to charge you £9,000 to learn a year. We're going to give you some money that won't even cover your ridiculous rent because we can. And you're going to have to just get a job on top of that, even though you have to. Because when I do a placement, I'm doing a full placement. So it's about 4 or 5 weeks in a school, getting there at 7:30, leaving at about 5:00. Not paid at all, obviously, because it's a placement, it's for experience, but then I have to go and do a job on top of that to just try and pay for my rent and my food, which is impossible. And then you have to do the essays and then the paperwork for the placement, lesson plans, and it's impossible. And you go, I have to do this because I have no money. And I wouldn't mind if they gave you enough money to live off and then you had to pay it back because you're paying enough anyway. You mean you might as well add a £1,000 on top of that just to give you a bit of comfort, get a bit of a buffer. But... You know, they seem to think that if your household income is like high in some way, then they just assume that everyone's going to pay for everything, yeah, and you're going to pay for, you know.
My friends are saying that it's like they were going into halls and they couldn't even afford to like get any food. It was like they could stay in their halls for like the majority of the year, couldn't pay the rest off, and they couldn't even get food for the year. How are they supposed to cope?
What's the answer then? Just say, for instance, I come to you and I'm Lord God of all, which is quite a nice thought, because I'm kind of nice. I'd say to you, right, how do you want to do this then from here on in?
I would say pay for the education anyway, but if you drop out, you have to pay it back, which is fair. But I think everyone should get a set amount. I don't really think it should be based on household income unless you're filthy rich, like I'm talking a billionaire or a millionaire or something. But if you give everybody, say, I don't know, so I've got £5,000 maintenance grant a year, which sounds like a lot of money, but that doesn't cover my rent because my rent is about £6,000 a year for a year. So if you give me something like, I don't know, £8,000 a year for a maintenance grant, even if I have to, whatever, pay it back, then I have £2,000 for the term to live on, and then I can get a part-time job instead of a full-time job, and I can kind of make it on my own. I don't have to ask for anything. I don't have to ask for any money. But I think giving everyone a set amount, make it so they give you a grant to study, just so it takes the pressure off, because you're already under pressure enough of the course. University courses are hard. You know that, right?
So at your university in London,
yep.
Do they have enough spaces for you to stay under their roof, or do you have to go outside and stay somewhere else?
Certain people have to go outside and stay somewhere else.
Is that because they haven't got enough space?
They haven't got enough room.
Yeah, we were called up there for a day. They put us into a hall. They gave us a list of estate agencies and properties, and we spent the day trawling around desperately trying to find a property for Harry to move into.
Surely it makes sense to have universities that can house everybody, you know, under one roof.
Well, the thing is what they expect is it's kind of like a conveyor belt. So you'd turn up in your first year.
Yeah.
They'd put you in halls, you'd meet people, you'd move out of the university for the second year and get a house together, and that's how it does. So your second and third years you'd be living in houses. But for some unlucky people, like for example me, we were in a room and they said, right, there you go, you've got to find people to live, you had to meet people on the day and live with them basically and find a house for them. So I had three 18 year olds as well, so I was about 5 years older than them. But
blimey,
it works out a little bit, because one of them turned out to be my best mate currently, he's awesome. But I lived with two people that, it was kind of a friction thing, but we were tied into this contract for a year and there wasn't really any escape because we were in a house. Whereas if you're in halls, you've kind of got a lock on your door, you've got your own private thing, you've got a bathroom most of the time.
Yeah, it makes sense, just having enough space and, putting everybody under one roof.
About 200 people, was it?
Yeah, it was about 200 people.
200, 300 people just all there, and they gave us a sheet of paper which was had about, I don't know, but let's just say 30 houses.
Yeah.
And they ranged from like 3-bedroom houses to 5-bedroom houses. And you were just like, right, and then it was like, okay, and go. And everyone was just fighting over these things.
Good grief.
And then we found one which was big enough, but we didn't really have time to go, oh, we have to inspect this property. It was like, we're here for one day, we're from the Isle of Wight, let's find a property, let's find one now that we will be able to live in. And then, yeah.
We mentioned on the show numerous times in the last year about having a university on the Isle of Wight. Would that work? Would that have encouraged you? Would you have stayed on the island?
I don't know. I personally think, even though I didn't used to think this, I think it's really good to, if you're from the Isle of Wight, to just leave it for a bit, just a little bit, and just to see what's going on. And then if you like it, you like it. If you don't, you can always come back. With a university on the island, I think it'd be really good in a whole range of ways, because if you don't want to leave and there's a university here, if it's doing the right subjects, then great. But I don't see where it would be. Do you know what I mean? So,
well, see, I'm not like you. I didn't have a massive education. I mean, you know, you're probably a super intelligent bloke, and
I take after my mum.
You come across as a nice, genuine guy as well. But you know, I'm looking at the Isle of Wight and thinking we've got so many different things to offer. We've got a lot of musicians that are incredibly talented. But where I would start with, you know, having a university and making us a centre of some kind of excellence is maybe the, you know, roads and the rocks that we've got on the island, the different kind of terrain,
so like geology and type thing.
Not like in a let's dig up some fossils and stuff kind of way, but
yeah.
Our roads are a challenge. And I think they're probably more challenging than most roads. And I think we could become a centre of excellence where we've got a nice little college university where we're learning about our own terrain. I mean, we look at, you look at the Knighton Road that is just fallen away and the fact that our coastline is eroding.
Yeah.
If we had some experts down here teaching young people from the Isle of Wight and, you know, other people that want to come along and have equally the same kind of issues in their areas, I think that would be a really, really, really good thing and a positive thing, and it would set us aside from most people. Do you think that's something that, you know, people would go for?
That would work. I think for certain people that would work. The thing about having a university here is that there's loads of good points, and there's just, like, for every idea, there's loads of bad points. I mean, people who go to university tend to have a bit, like, quite a lot of a social life, whereas on the Isle of Wight, you're kind of stuck for things to do during the week. For example, I wouldn't say there was really anywhere to go past 10 o'clock. And also for sports teams and all things travelling about, you wouldn't be able to compete as much.
You ought to be in bed at 10 o'clock. That's the problem, you see. You ought to be in bed at 10 o'clock, learning for next day's
10 o'clock
lessons.
In the morning. That's true. But I do think that because this is it's an area of like outstanding beauty, and you go to like West Wight especially, and you go, well, this is incredible, that you could have all kind of horticultural people. I mean, wasn't Alan Titchmarsh something to do with
the horticultural? That's the words that I was looking for. Yeah. See, that's what we're sending you to university.
Yeah.
But we could be the centre of excellence there. We really could. Now, you make a good point about moving away from the Isle of Wight to sort of, spread your wings a little bit. Now, that sounds like, you know, good advice. But what about you, Shania? If, just say, for instance, if there was a university on the Isle of Wight, would you rather go to it than have to leave the island?
Probably, yeah, if it was the right subject sort of thing. It wasn't a great problem with leaving the island. It was, obviously, I missed it and all that. There's a lot of kids these days that can't wait to leave the island, but when you actually get there, I love Winchester. It was like, I really enjoyed it. It was a really nice city, but it was just university wasn't right for me. And coming home, like when you're on your own and you're like trying your best to meet people and it's not working, to come home to have a family, you know, who actually care and someone to talk to, it's not the same on Skype. It's like better than what it ever used to be. But I think if you had a university on the Isle of Wight, it'd be so much easier just to come home, you know, and you still have people there that around you that you like. But then obviously when you get older, like your age, you know, it's not saying I'm 19 and
mine or my mum's.
Well, you're a few years older, so you've gone to university a bit older than what I did, and it's like I found it difficult at 18 years old to go away off the island on your own. Yeah, I did have a friend that went with me, but we're on so completely different timetables, it didn't really work, and it was just so difficult to like be on your own and left there. And yeah, I think a university on the island would be beneficial for people that don't want to leave but still have a decent chance of an education. And what happens after that, you know, people
good
might
point
still go. And so you've still got those extra years on the island with your family until you decide, you know, maybe I do need to move to mainland for a job, or
and
maybe
the,
I don't.
And the other thing is if you go have a uni on the island and you can live at home, you're going to save yourself about 7-8 yeah grand a year worth of debt. So that's after the end of 20, you know, 3 years, that's over 20 grand you're saving.
One problem with living, if you're from the Isle of Wight and you're living at home, and
yeah,
like university for me is a great way to transition into a kind of adulthood, is to go, I'm living here, I'm still kind of relying a little bit on university, relying a little bit on home, you know, doing my own thing though. And then after that, you're like, cool, I have the degree, I'm going to try and get a job. Whereas if you live on the Isle of Wight, you go to university on the Isle of Wight, you kind of go, I can just live at home, and then, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you can get stuck into the kind of thing. But I mean, I love the Isle of Wight, honestly. I miss it every day I'm not here. It's a fantastic place to live, and one day I want to raise a family here because it's just great.
Lock up your daughters. So I'll tell you what we're going to do is going to take a quick commercial break. We'll hold that thought. Tell you all about pills and things, contraception, and then we'll come back and we'll chat some more.
Thanks,
after this quick break.
The Lunchtime Social is brought to you in association with White Fibre for the best deals in broadband, television and phone. 100% local. All employees live on the Isle of Wight. Check them out at www.whitefibre.com.
Putting the community back into local radio. This is Vectis Radio.
Vectisradio.com.
For the people, by the people.
Fretbuzz.net is the place to go for all the latest music reviews, photos and much more. Covering island bands to establish acts from across the globe, the guys at Fretbuzz will give their unique view on the music world. As well as music reviews from Fretbuzz, they now offer bands and musicians a range of promotional services, from photo shoots, video show reels to advertising and pictures on the site. Fretbuzz caters for all budgets and requirements. Just call them on 07576 38337 today for more information. So whatever you're looking for, visit fret-buzz.net for all your music needs, or find them on Facebook by searching Fretbuzz Music Reviews.
The Castle St Helens. Superb self-catering accommodation in St Helens, open all year, just a short walk from the beach. Full details, including availability and offers, can be found on our website at www.sthelenscastle.co.uk. It's also the perfect place to book if you have relatives coming to visit you on the island, with special rates available for bookings made from Isle of Wight addresses. Contact us on www.sthelenscastle.co.uk or on 01983 875 993, that's 875 993, to book your perfect getaway on the Isle of Wight. Also see the Facebook page for the castle for more details.
Beds of Ride, in-town parking in Union Street. Come and give your bedroom an overhaul and treat. No need for sales gimmicks, just value for your pound. With realistic prices all the year round. Includes free delivery if you live in Ride, and only £10 elsewhere island-wide. Open 10:30 till late, 6 days a week. All that is needed to help you sleep. Beds of Ride, call 565 151. Also find us on Facebook.
the White Military and Heritage Museum in Northwood. The museum will excite your senses and immerse you in a world of human success over adversity. Call 01983 300037 for more details or to book your ride.
For a magical Christmas treat this Christmas, why not take the family to the Isle of Wight Steam Railway Santa Specials? Operating on selected days in December, you will get to ride through the winter countryside on a 10-mile steam train round trip, meet Santa in his grotto, and even enjoy a festive drink and mince pie. There'll be a lovely festive atmosphere with music, entertainment, and even Christmas donkeys. For full details and online bookings, visit www.iwsteamrailway.co.uk.
Do you need that unsightly chewing gum removed in an eco-friendly way without any hindrance to your day-to-day business? Do you need that fragile stonework cleaned, and are you worried that it could be damaged? Worry no more, because White Stream Hydro Cleaning Services is here. We are the island's exterior cleaning and restoration specialists. We cover the commercial, industrial, maritime and solar sectors for all of your cleaning and restoration needs. Call our professional team on 01983 642 101. That's 01983 642 101. Or go to our website www.whitestream.co.uk for a full list of our services. White Stream, it's what's on the outside that counts.
Stay social and get in touch. Give us a call on 01983 240 666 or add us on Skype. It's Vectis.radio. The World Wide Web never felt so local. So local.
The Lunchtime Social, brought to you in association with White Fibre, providers of the fastest fibre optic broadband on the island. Check them out at www.whitefibre.com.
Okay, here we are then, back with part two. We've got Shania in, we've got... is it Harry, isn't it?
It is.
I keep wanting to call you Tom. There is a Tom in the family as well.
Yes, the eldest.
We better give the other one a mention as well.
Alex.
Alex. And you mentioned you've got a sister there as well.
Yeah, she's my half-sister. So all right. She's called Olivia. So she's really
You don't
cool.
do halves. She's your sister.
But I just meant on the stepmom and dad's side, sorry.
Okay. And Lady Bex is in as well. And we're talking Lady university Bex. And the pressures and so on and so forth. And we sort of said, what should we be doing? It, the setup that we've got in place now, you know, not just the finances, but the way it's all set up. Do you actually agree with? Would you change it if you could?
Oh, I would change everything about education if I could. I would try and adapt it to suit everyone's.
At what
needs.
Level? Where would you go back? Grassroots, high schools.
I'd change it straight from primary school. I mean, remember at primary school, some kids fantastic, like as a young kid, drawing, music, creativity, all this kind of stuff. Even like acting, like, they love drama and stuff. Some kids were quite shy about that, and they were really good at English. They were really good at maths, you know, and it was and some really good sports. I'd say just change up the ratio. Don't focus every single thing on maths, English, science. So like, you have to adapt it to people's needs, because what is it, if you judge a fish by its ability to climb a tree,
it will fail,
you know. So you kind of go, this kid is not very good at this and doesn't like this because he's not very good at this, instead of saying, no, I'm going to make you good at this even if you don't like it, because it's going to benefit you later in life, and I'm going to take away your ability that you want to do. I'd say just like support them. I know it's hard because they don't really know what they want to do, so I'd say teach everything, but teach everything equally. Don't just focus on maths, English and science. Don't, because some places they do maths every single day, do science all the time, English every single day.
Does the system in place at the moment do that, or does it need a radical overhaul? And if so, if it does need, what are you doing getting involved in it? Because you're going to be just like your mum. You're going to be rebellious in a minute, aren't you?
Still am.
And say, hey, look, you know, you need to change this. We're not doing it this way anymore. We're going to do it the other way. We're going to do it my way, because my way works.
Well, you know, loads of people disagree with me, and they're usually the people in power, and that's why we've got the system. We've got a system because a lot of people think it's the best system to go, or they think there's quite a lot of lazy people in power, and they think this isn't the best system, but what's better than this? Nothing. We'll just keep it like this. Let's not think about it. So, you know, it's the way it is, and it seems to be the only way you can do things.
See, the thing is, the world is changing, but the way we teach in schools doesn't seem to be changing that much.
No,
and it certainly doesn't to me. I don't think youngsters now are getting value for money.
I think it's changed a lot, and I don't think it's changed for the better. I think, you know, when you and
statistics.
I were scoring,
it's all about
and we
statistics.
Did our GCSEs, we didn't have this continual assessment throughout our GCSEs. We basically either didn't work for 2 years and worked like stink for the last month, or you got your heads on. I mean,
but when you
and we
work
didn't
it
have
out,
cats and sats either, did we?
No, but when you work it out, you know, the with all these assessments that they do, they still haven't cottoned on to the fact that you can do all of these assessments and you can tick all these boxes, but you're still not getting the majority of youngsters ready for when they leave school for a job or a profession.
Well, the problem is they seem to think, oh, if this works for 25 out of 30 kids in this school, then this system is a success. And they kind of go, those 5 kids, well, that kind of sucks. You know, they don't go... Yeah.
Kind of collateral damage.
They don't go, hang on a minute, there's these 5 kids here, they're not learning anything, or they don't want to learn anything. Oh, well, it's fine.
They just get isolated. Yeah,
a lot of people these days, it sounds horrible to say, but they really do think about statistics. So it's like, I think that's why they push you to do further education, and then they push... Because if you do further education, sixth form or whatever, at the same school that you were at, then that looks good on them, because they've got all these people A star to see going, they've got 5 of them, look at our school, we've got so many people in sixth form.
Sure.
And then they go into university and like, look how many of our sixth form people went into university. Mm. Look at all these statistics, look how great our school is. And it's like, loads of people drop out after the first year, and it's like, is it really that worth it?
We're kind of lucky because we've got an ex-student in that I think has gone to... she's kind of lucky. I mean, really lucky. We went to the best school on the island. They got the best record for everything. And I think they've done brilliantly well.
Which school is that? Medina?
Which is Christ the King College. And do you think... is there anything you look back and think, I wish they'd have done, you know, they could have improved that, they could have done this, they could have done that. So, you know,
It's difficult because obviously, like, the government are forcing so much on schools. Mm-hmm. And Christ the King was a really good school. I wouldn't change, you know, where I went or what they did any other way. It's just the government wants, like, kids to every child to get a C in English and maths. And my brother went to the college open day, and they said, if you don't get a C in English and maths, you have to continue that at college and alongside whatever course you want to do. I think that's just completely wrong. You know, it's not the school's fault. If there's things that people want to change about schools, it's not necessarily the school's fault. Mm. It's the government that are forcing every child to get a C in English and maths. And as Harry said, you're not every child is decent at English and maths. You know, some people are really good at music and all the creative subjects, but English maths, you don't stand a chance.
And also, when you do GCSE maths, you know, there's a lot of bits of maths and that you'll never, ever use.
It's like trigonometry. I did that in my exam. What have I used that?
I'm still waiting to use algebra in everyday life.
Yeah, I mean, I think if a kid has got a good basic level of reading, comprehending what they're reading,
phonics,
adding up, subtracting.
Phonics is really important.
That's, do what?
That's phonics.
Phonics.
That is without a doubt, amazing for kids. They do that. It's only for about 20 minutes a day. And all it is, it's just doing the sounds, the alphabet, like your trigraphs and your digraphs, and helps them with their reading, helps them like decode words and stuff like
so
that.
So they can work out how to
do the
say
tricky
a word.
Words, so you can learn how to read. And that's amazing. But that's cool. But I think the biggest argument with schools are they actually teaching you stuff that you need, or are they actually just teaching you how to pass an exam?
That's it, you're ticking a box.
It's like, they teach you the syllabus of an exam.
Yeah.
It's nothing...
But does that, you know, at the end of the day, does that get you into the zone of, right, I'm now ready for the outside world? No, because all they've done is they've set up something that is ancient, and all it is right, okay, you can speak, you can read, you can do this, and they're ticking the boxes.
But
did we actually have a look and see what your skills, what your real skills are? How many times do we hear of, you know, people like Robbie Williams that went to school, and he was dreadful at school, and he wrote his teacher a letter to say how wonderfully well he had done since leaving school? And he was this wordsmith, he was this clever chap, but nobody could get it out of him. That to me is where the system is failing, because there's loads of people like that.
But also, kids are coming out. I mean, Simon will tell you, he will be doing a recruitment for a firm, and he will be recruiting someone who's got an MBA, a master's business degree. and they'll come to him and they'll sit there and they'll basically say they're fantastic, they know it all, they haven't got one iota of proper experience, and they're actually not a terribly good candidate, but they have ticked a box. And young people, and perhaps older people today, are firmly believing that if they have that title after their name, MBA, or you know, that somehow they can do the job. And you and I both know, it's a bit like your driving lessons. Once you've passed your test and you're driving that car on your own, that's when it gets really scary, and that's when you have to have a bit of intelligence.
That's when you learn.
One of the things I think our education system is not doing is helping people love learning and learning how to learn, if that makes sense.
It does make sense. And obviously the other major thing is they're not actually listening to people that have been in the profession for X amount of years,
no,
that have got vast amounts of experience. It's still just about ticking boxes, unfortunately.
It is. And if you are brought up in a culture whereby, say, for example, a kid is not in a terribly happy circumstances at home, and mum and dad is spit up, blah, 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 and they're asking questions and they're constantly being told to sit down and shut up, go away, switch the telly on, play your games, do this, and they never get those questions answered. Yeah. Where are these kids going to learn, properly learn, about the world they live in?
TV.
The Simpsons.
Problem is, the system is awful.
Young man, into the microphone.
Sorry.
You've been here a long time now. You should have learnt that by now.
Sorry, sir.
Into the corner.
Oh, I'm a dunce now.
See that board behind you? We're going to wipe it off in a bit. You're going to write 100 times, "I must talk into the microphone."
Sorry.
It's not often you can't hear Harry, let me tell you.
Who snores the loudest? What? Sorry. No, but you've got to look at the system. I mean, Albert Einstein, wasn't he terrible at science at school?
Pardon?
Wasn't Albert Einstein terrible at science at school?
Albert Einstein didn't learn to read till he was 8.
Yeah.
And they thought he had special needs.
Exactly. This just goes to show you that they don't really care that much. But the worst thing I saw at schools is the amount of technology that they're bringing in these days. It's like, and you know what? It's quite funny because they use these things like smart boards and stuff. And half the teachers have problems with them anyway. And they spend about 10 to 15 minutes trying to figure out how to work this thing or this certain thing. And then you've wasted half the lesson anyway. And then also, all these kids have got an iPad. And they're like, oh yeah, let's give all these kids an iPad. That'll make them learn. And all they're doing is taking selfies and having fun.
It's year 9, so that first year of like the high school, we all got given laptops. Like, we had to pay for them, obviously, but we used netbooks for like all the lessons sort of thing. It's like, surely you'd want people to still use pen and paper. Like, it's just teaching kids just to use like netbooks all the time. And
do you have neat writing?
Yes, I would say that I would. Yeah.
No.
Brandon has the most awful writing because he doesn't use a pen and paper much nowadays, which is kind of sad that we've lost the art of how to write. Some people will say, well, we don't need to, but yeah. I think it's a necessity, isn't it?
Oh, come on, Ian, look at doctor's handwriting. It's always been terrible.
Yeah, when I had my on my music exams for my violin,
right,
you get given a sheet to like all your like feedback whilst we're performing. And it's atrocious, you can't read it. And he's like, for goodness sake, is there...
You used to have neat writing becks at school, didn't you?
Sometimes.
Sometimes, you know.
Yeah. Do you know what worries me, though, about giving kids iPhones and netbooks and iPads, whatever they are?
iPhones.
But it's that they're all going to be sat there in the classroom, not looking at the teacher,
communication,
not communicating with each other. They're all going to be like this, aren't they?
They're playing games.
Sorry, Bex, I'm just looking at my phone. So what did you say? hey, look, we've got to leave it there. We've run out of time, but thank you for coming in, Shania. We'll see you next week.
Yep.
Thank you. Nice to meet you, Harry. And we'll see you soon, and good luck with the future. And Bex, we'll see you next week.
You will.
All right, then.